We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back into the Kia Studios for the second hour of our 92.9 The Game NFL Draft Preview Special. I'm Paul Crane, pleased to be spending these 2 hours with my good friend, the publisher of the NFL Draft Report, has been working for the NFL and its teams for more than 40 years, and he's the co-host of our Scouts Honor podcast, Dave T. Thomas. And by the way, the in-depth podcasts breaking down every position are all there for draft fans on the 92.9thegame.com Draft Hub, along with Dave T.'s analysis and player reports from his NFL Draft Report. And Dave T., we're heading into the trenches. This is a place we're going to look at defensive linemen, which are so deep. We're going to touch on the offensive line as well. And the Atlanta Falcons in particular have indicated that this is an area of primary need.
Well, here's another thing why they should change the theme song of the draft, because they should be playing Aerosmith, Living on the Edge, because a lot of edge rushers are going to go in round one, Paul.
Well, and let's go ahead and start there. They're going to start dictating the draft. Nick Bosa is one of those guys. You've got Josh Allen from Kentucky, and there are a lot of players there, even Brian Burns. You and I talked about him at three different positions in our position breakdowns on our podcast. So who do you see starting, and then how is it going to follow and affect the first round in particular?
Well, Bosa fits what the San Francisco 49ers are looking for. You know, they do have Dee Ford on one side, and you have to look at that, though, as being possibly just a one-year rental. So by bringing in Bosa to play the other defensive end spot is logical. However, there's the Q Williams factor still sitting on the board. Do you take a guy that's 8 to play a need, or you take a guy that's 10 and try to trade your excess over there to go ahead and get yourself an 8 later on in the draft? I think the Quinnen Williams factor, I'm still convinced that San Francisco is going to say, you know what the heck, let me get Buckner a better partner than Armstead rather than going out and getting an edge. Because of the reason is you're looking at a Jalen Ferguson still being around in round two.
And there are some guys with medicals that could affect. You've talked about Montez Sweat already, and you've mentioned Rashawn Gary from Michigan, but these guys could end up affecting where not only they go, but others go.
Well, in any other draft, if he didn't blow out his knee before the combine, I mean, Jeffrey Simmons would be right up there in the talk about the top three guys. Now he possibly could slide all the way to the end of round one. I'm still looking at this guy. If I'm a Falcon owner right now, I'm going, hey, nudging my GM and saying, do you see what this guy could do? Do you think we could wait 6 weeks for him? This is a guy 6 weeks after surgery was already out there running, guys.
And one guy that people may not be familiar with because he played in Conference USA and at Louisiana Tech, that's Jalen Ferguson.
I like Ferguson, and if I want a guy that's going to be able to loop around coming off the edge, it's him. Don't look at that pro day. Look at what he does with pads on, and this is what drives me nuts so much, so many times, and I'll talk about it when we get to Elijah Holyfield later on. There are certain positions you don't play with a stopwatch. You play with their balance. You play with their burst, and that's what you would get out of Ferguson.
We will be getting to the running backs, but continuing on the defensive line at tackle, you've already mentioned that Alabama's Quinnen Williams is your number one player in this draft. We've talked about Christian Wilkins from Clemson. That's a possibility for the Falcons. Dexter Lawrence, we haven't talked that much about, and he seems to, in the eyes of some, have started sliding down the first round from where he started. Talk about some of those big guys in the middle.
You know, this is what ticks me off. A lot of people look at Dexter and say, oh, no, this is only a zero-gap type. I'm going to have to play him at nose. No, you play him at nose tackle and at 4-3. That's what you do. Look what happened up at Clemson. Look at his ability to handle multiple blockers. I mean, you come up. Let's say you don't go for Simmons. Let's say you don't go for Wilkins. Imagine Lawrence next to Grady Jarrett. Okay, I hope he doesn't beat me up for this, but Jarrett is not exactly the biggest guy out there. I'm call him more of an under tackle. He's cat quick, and that's what he does. If I got to stay at home type over there, opening up those rush lanes so I could have my guy Jared shooting the gaps. The whole thing, if you look around the NFL right now, the running backs are getting bigger. There's a lot more running in between the tackles. In order to do that, my defensive tackle better stop those dudes.
So you've got Quinnen Williams, Jeffrey Simmons, you've mentioned, who's injured, Ed Oliver, Dexter Lawrence. One more guy before we flip over to the offensive line, Jerry Tillery from Notre Dame.
I'm not a fan of his. You know, I watch him out there on the football field, and I need more of a consistent motor. He's banged up, so, you know, people are saying tail end one, early two, but I don't know. I'm looking at a guy up at Boston College, Zach Allen over there. This is a guy that I could use as a Dan Hampton type. If I'm in short yardage, I move him to tackle. If I'm looking for a run stuff in five, I go with Zach. There's a lot of talent out there that I'm seeing going on day two, which would entice me more than the Tillery.
Well, let me also, I lied, let me ask one more, because you've talked about Draymond Jones at Ohio State, again,
let
as a potential.
They talk about the violent hands that Ed Oliver has. Go, folks. Get up on YouTube. Put up an Ohio State tape. Watch Draymond Jones out on the field. His hands are so violent, so quick out there. If he was in a sushi bar, he wouldn't even need a Ginsu knife.
So, and if the Falcons happen to go offensive line with the pick at 14 in round one, Draymond Jones would be there in round two and be another person that you see being a good fit next to Grady Jarrett.
I am so positive this kid is going to be a high-level talent. You might as well call me Mr. Proton.
All right, Mr. Proton, let's go on to the offensive line. Offensive tackle, that's another area of need in Atlanta, but so many others. And how do you see that shaking out in terms of a position that we normally see high in the first round more than once? This, because of the depth on the defensive line, may not be the case.
Well, if you look at everybody's draft boards, everybody sort of has Jawan Taylor already living in Jacksonville. So more than likely, he's going to be the only guy in the top 10 unless Buffalo gets smart, and I'll tell you why. I guess it's sort of like a twist on words over there, but if I look at Jonah Williams as my Swiss Army knife. I could play him at left tackle. I could move him in at guard. I could switch him over to right tackle and not have a drop-off in performance. Oh, my God, Paul, would this guy be ideal? Deal at number 14, because then he could sing the song, I'm heading back to Georgia, instead of saying I'm never going to go back to Georgia.
And in this draft, there are a lot of guys that are interchangeable. There, in past drafts, we've had offensive tackles, we'd have offensive guards. Last year, we had Quentin Nelson from Notre Dame, a pure guard. This year, we see a lot of guys that can play either position.
You want a Quentin Nelson type, he's going to end up playing tackle probably his first year or two, but look at Cody Ford. I think anybody that puts him inside is going to have the same push ability, the same dominance. Still, someone will likely take him in round one as a tackle first over at the right tackle spot. But then if you're looking for a pass protector, you got Andre Dillard on the board. And I haven't seen a center coming out in this draft like Garrett Bradbury in quite a while. You got Eric McCoy. You come up and round two, you got Dalton Reisner sitting out there who could play right guard, who could play tackle. I could even move him into center. A guy that I'm touting is the Atlanta Falcons type, and that's Titus Howard. And if they don't go for Titus Howard, you come up in round three and go for the Charlotte kid, Nate Davis, who I could play at either guard or tackle. I like the versatility, and it's not at a point, Paul, where we're sitting there and saying, oh, this guy's arm's too short, I have to move him inside. We're just looking at the athletic ability itself. It all comes down to a do you want to play a man-up line, or do you want to play a zone scheme?
And Titus Howard, we mentioned earlier, he's one of your sleeper picks at tackle that all of a sudden the league has discovered, who played at Little Alabama State and now is not going to get out of the second round, whether the Falcons take him there or not.
Teron Armstead, just look at this kid and you will see the similarities out there. Then you head up to Sioux Falls, man, and look at Trey Pipkin. I'm thinking Trey Pipkin's going to move up in the draft. You look at Dallas with the problem they have on their offensive line right now. Hell, if they take the Great Dane Froholt out of Arkansas in round two, I'm not going to cry.
No, and we've seen the Saints in particular have a number of those talented offensive linemen from small schools, and you've named a couple of them here. You mentioned Garrett Bradbury. Let's talk about center for just a moment, since the center starts every single play in a football game. Garrett Bradbury from North Carolina State.
You look at the way he plays, it's sort of like a bigger version of Jason Kelce. He's got that good even flow to retrieve his kick slide, getting back to protect the pocket. The fan, the way that he moves his arms and everything keeps everybody off of the quarterback. You look at the passing that they did down there in North Carolina State. Finley had himself one hell of a year, but you look at what Bradberry did. This is a guy in 3 years gave up two quarterback pressures, a half a sack. That's it, Paul. And we're talking 1,936 plays.
Wow. And I know another player that we talked about a lot in our podcast, breaking down the center position, which, again, all those podcasts are on 92.9 The Game's draft hub on our website. But how about Georgia's Lamont Gilyard? This is a guy that's getting attention from a lot of teams.
Well, I would agree with them on that. You look at the size factor. You go back and look at the Miami years ago with Tim Ruddy. I see a similar style of play out of this kid. I could bring him into the league similar to like what Detroit did with Glasgow. You know, I could end up playing him at guard, moving him over to center if I need. Right now, I look at him as a valuable six guy. And then look at our sleeper up at Indiana. This is a kid that was the second-rated guard in this thing. Didn't go to the combine. And now teams are looking at him as the center, and that's Wesley Martin, who, folks, put up the weight 61 times.
Wow, that's pretty strong. So as we get ready to head to break, the Falcons have themselves quite a decision to make at 14, and then, of course, again in the second round, whether they go offensive line in the first round or defensive line. We will have to see. Dave T., stick around. Looking well ahead before we call it a day. Dave T is going to play Falcons general manager a little bit and look ahead to the 2020 draft, which will have a name of interest to our listeners. But first, we've got more positions and teams to look up next. Running backs and linebackers. This is the 92.9 The Game draft preview special here on 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
I try not to worry about it. You know, I have confidence in myself. I can play football. You know, I might can't run the fastest 40 in the world, but I can play football better than a lot of people.
That's Georgia's Elijah Holyfield, a running back who did not run well at the combine. Welcome back into the Kia Studios for our 92.9 The Game NFL Draft Preview Special. I'm Paul Crane, joined by the publisher of the NFL Draft Report, who has been scouting players and writing reports for the league and its teams for more than 40 years, Dave T. Thomas, who joined us on the WadeFord.com hotline. And Dave T., why don't we start as we look at running backs and linebackers in this segment, players and some of the teams interested, right there with Elijah Holyfield. He left the combine with some saying him coming out early, he's not ready for prime time.
I still don't think he's ready for prime time, but some team will take him early in day three. The reason behind it, he averaged 6.4 yards a carry, right? 5.9 of those yards came after initial contact. I don't care about a 4.7, 8.40. I care about that 5.9 for the simple reason is it shows that he's going to carry the opponent well. That's what I want from my running back. Well, you know what the joke is, coach, if you need me to get you 2 yards, I'll get you 2 yards. If you need me to get you 4, I'll get you 2. I'm looking at him as a short yardage guy. Look at Dallas years ago. They had success with Marion Barber. Look at Oakland for years with Marcel Reese. That's what I see the role for Holyfield at the next level. Same thing like what I said with Hardeman heading up to join the Chiefs. This is a guy that would be perfect in their backfield. He's a good blitz pickup guy, and that's what I need, especially when I got a mobile quarterback like Mahomes.
So you put a guy like Elijah Holyfield in the right situation. We all know moving the chains, or especially at the goal line, that short yardage situation can be the difference in winning and losing games. But when it comes – well, go ahead.
Well, not only that, Paul, look at Barkley. You know, you got to look at the bad line that the Giants had. Not only did he create on the edge, but he was able to create between the tackles. But the biggest importance, I thought, for Barkley last year was protecting Eli. That's what you're going to get from Holyfield.
This is a draft where you're not expecting to see a lot of running backs go in the first round. We've had a couple of years where we didn't have any running backs go in the first round at all. But if someone is going to go, we see the Raiders and the Eagles among those saying that they have a need there. And, of course, the Raiders have those three first-round picks. But a lot of people, we look to Alabama, and the guy who is the starting running back isn't even the one considered the one who's going to hear his name first. That's Damian Harris, but his backup, Josh Jacobs, may be the one who comes off the board first.
A running back is sort of like fresh food at the market. You know, it only has a certain shelf life, and that's what you see in the running backs itself. If Philadelphia ends up going for a wide receiver in round one, Paul, if Oakland stays true and goes for defense, Jacobs is going to slide to two. Paul, I'm sitting right now that only possibly three guys are going to go in the first two rounds of the draft at running back. His running mate, Harris, might go in two, but more than likely could slide in at three. You look at Miles Sanders. Some people are talking about him being a fringe, too. I think it's probably going to be only three running backs on the first 2 days of the draft.
You mentioned Miles Sanders from Penn State and the shelf life for running backs, because I think it's very dangerous to take a running back too high in the draft because of the risk for injury. They get banged up, banged up, banged up, and we've seen over and over any running back that gets used too often, say at 375 carries or more in a season, that's almost a career ender.
And you look at, too, what's going on in the NFL. Everybody is starting to use the running back by committee. Why? Because they know they can't have that durable guy to go out there on the football field. You look at this year's draft, though. Jacobs and Sanders have a lot of similarities. Good receiving skills coming out of the backfield. And both of them are going with, you know, some pretty low mileage on them. Sanders caddied for Barkley for 3 years. And then you look at the opposite spectrum, where you look at Harris and say, well, you know, those 300 carries, something's got to be wrong over there. You know, he's probably got a few nicks and bruises we don't know about. David Montgomery from Iowa State. Now, this is an outstanding talent. I look at him as being a David Johnson type of clone. The speedster up at Memphis, Darrell Henderson. I know that Coughlin loves him to death. He's hoping he could get him early on day three. The Green Bay is looking for a cultural change a little bit. They want that electrifying back. You could find a Mercury Morris type down at Texas A&M and Travion Williams. I think the one that's probably going to get hurt the most on this draft, Paul, is a guy that should have been a first-round draft pick last year, and we talked about on our preseason show with his ankle issues, Bryce Love. Right now, he's hanging out with Harry Belafonte. How low can
low,
you go?
Low can you go? And you had mentioned that, Bryce Love at Stanford. He was a Heisman candidate a year ago, and now all of a sudden he's out of the thought process, it seems. Another guy.
He went that year waiting too late. He went from Heisman to Wyman.
Exactly. And with Tevin Coleman leaving Atlanta, how much are the Falcons looking for a back? And might they have somebody they might get on day three? You haven't mentioned Devin Singletary from Florida Atlantic, but I know.
Oh, stay away from that, dude. Yeah. Let me tell you one thing. There's a thing out there. You know how a pest bothers you? It's like, till I catch him, and then all of a sudden you, boom, there goes that fly swatter, and you got that son of a gun.
Right.
That's how it is with Singletary. I say go down there and look at that kid. I can't pronounce his first name. Kiefer
Kareth,
White, his backup over there. This is a guy that's electrifying. This is a guy I see is bringing better value to the table because of his receiving skills, 26 yards per kickoff return. However, if I'm out there and I'm looking for bringing myself in another running back to team up with Freeman, I look at all the midgets that they got back there. I look at all the scat backs they got back there. I want a violent runner. Give me a Raquel Armstead. That's a violent runner out there on the football field. If I want a home run threat, I go up to Oklahoma State and I get myself a Justice Hill. Right now, I'm looking at Armstead. I'm looking at even Snell. Benny Snell, I could probably still find on the board in five or six. Physical type of guys that like to go out there and hit people rather than people hitting them.
Benny Snell from Kentucky, who had such a great year for the Wildcats. Raquel Armstead, you mentioned at Temple, looked at as a fullback by a lot of people.
Well, you look at the size and they look around the league, but I say you got a team that's still using a one back, this is a perfect situation to bring this guy in. I like kids that move the pile, the Holyfields, the Snells, the Armstead. These are guys that I could appreciate.
How about a linebacker as we go inside or outside? Some of these guys have been edge rushers. You've already talked about Devin White from LSU being not only your top linebacker, but your number two player on your board.
Well, when you're looking at the linebackers itself and what's going on out there, you got to look at the law firm. Devin White is so coveted right now. Tampa Bay, even with the enticing offers that they've gotten, they're a little hard to try to squeeze that fifth pick out of them for the simple situation. They think Devin White is a perfect fit for them. They lost Quan Alexander to free agency. You look at the way that this guy plays. Hell, you look at the way that Deion Jones plays for you guys. I see a similar situation with White.
Well, you talked about the law firm. That's your law firm of Devin and Devin, the other Devin being Devin Bush from Michigan.
That's why I think Cincinnati will hold off, Paul, till round two to get a quarterback, because Devin Bush will likely still be on the board when they come up with 11.
So those two Devins are talented linebackers. And these are guys also we've had between inside and outside. We haven't yet talked about Mack Wilson at Alabama.
Well, you know, Mack Wilson to me is the lunch pail type, but he is definitely the wingman, will likely go in round two itself. But, you know, when you're talking about the physicality of a Bush, when you're talking about the off-ball ability of a Devin White, he sort of gets lost in the shuffle, Mr. Wilson. You look at what's going on at Pittsburgh, they come up in round two, it could be a nice fit for them. Oakland needs a quality middle linebacker. Carolina, Baltimore, Philadelphia, Indianapolis, the Chargers, KC, the Rams. He's not going to be sitting on the board past 64.
I know there's a player that, as we look at guys who've played on the inside, you really like that people may not be aware of, and that's Jermaine Pratt from North Carolina State.
He's a guy that, honestly, if I'm Carolina and I need to replace a Thomas Davis, I got to go for this guy, because not only could he play inside, he has 3 years' experience as a safety. So I know if I'm going to go into cover two situations, I could flip him out to my weak outside position. I think that this kid right now brings better value than even Wilson does.
Jermaine Pratt from North Carolina State. If we look on the outside, what about Vashon Joseph from the University of Florida, or maybe David Long from West Virginia?
Yeah, but you know, these are more day three type of guys for me. And let me tell you, my problem with outside linebackers is sort of like my problem with tight ends. I now have to categorize them along with the edge rushers, because a lot of teams will actually use those edge rushers standing up at the second level. A pure outside linebacker is starting to become hard to find, similar to tight end, where the only one we really have there is Hockenson.
And then that brings us to the guy that I had mentioned earlier, you and I had spoken about in three different positions in our podcast breakdowns, and that's Florida State's Brian Burns. Could somebody take him and play him at linebacker?
Well, that's the reason the Jets want to move down on draft day, Paul. They want to move down to a position in the middle of the first round where they could end up getting another draft pick and still go for Burns. They think Burns probably could bring even more to the table than Josh Allen does. Josh has good pass rush ability, but drop back ability, no. But you go back and look at Burns, even though he played on the edge over there, they only completed 11.8% of the passes against this guy. So I'm looking at a guy that I can not only move to strong side, actually playing him like Pittsburgh played Joey Porter a couple of years ago. But this is one smart cookie. You look at Pittsburgh with losing Shazier. I move Burns into that spot. I'm just going. My eight cylinders are just going to keep on running. For Atlanta, I think in day three coming up, they got to look at an edge rusher type, outside linebacker guy, tremendous skills, but he's been at three schools, and that's Andrew Van Ginkle up at Wisconsin.
What about a guy, Blake Cashman from Minnesota? People in our listening area may not be as familiar with him, but where do you play him?
Where do you play him? Wherever he wants to play on the field, because I say he's the second coming of Kevin Green. People are just getting on to him now, seeing what he could do out there. However, next year, if you go back to Minnesota and look at Carter Coughlin, who's going to replace Cashman, you're going to have the first linebacker in the draft in 2020.
Ooh, all right. Before we leave linebackers, there's one that I know some teams are not sure on what to think about him, and you in particular, that's Georgia's DeAndre Walker.
You know, I like the kid. I don't like the idea of some team saying to move him inside. I think he plays better when he's allowed to roam. He's a good space eater, and that's what I like from the kid. I would hope that some team doesn't tell him, I want to bulk you up, or like the Giants did when they were first experimenting with Lorenzo Carter over there before they decided to move him back to second level. You keep Walker at second level, he's worth second round value to you.
You had mentioned there are going to be a lot of moves on the first 2 days from teams. How much will linebacker be playing a part in these deals that we're going to end up seeing on Thursday and Friday?
You understand one thing. Once those edge rushers go off the board, you're left with linebacker type. So if you're looking for that pressure on the outside, you're going to have to go for linebackers early. I don't think when you come up in day three, you're going to find anything more than special teams or, how could I put it, death purpose type of guys.
We know it's going to be busy the first couple of days, and we're not done yet. We do have another position. It's one loaded with talent, especially from the state of Georgia, and one player who may get to come home. Don't go away. This is the 92.9 The Game NFL Draft Preview Special here on 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
It's my honor to present the 2018 Paycom Jim Thorpe Award to DeAndre Baker, Georgia.
Welcome back into the Kia Studios for our 92.9 The Game NFL Draft Preview Special. I'm Paul Crane, pleased to be joined by the publisher of the NFL Draft Report and the director of operations of Scouting Services, Inc., Dave T. Thomas, who's been with us for the entire 2 hours on the WadeFord.com hotline. And we're going to look at defensive backs coming up and some of the teams interested in them. And Dave T., the Thorpe Award winner from Georgia, DeAndre Baker, I know is a corner that you like a lot.
Oh, do I like this kid. If Pittsburgh does not end up finding Murphy on the board when they come up, this is the perfect guy to go into that spot. I still feel that Byron Murphy and DeAndre are going to be the only first-round cornerbacks. There's a lot of Swiss cheese movement going on with Greedy Williams. I think he's going to slide into two. Go back and look at last year. Look at the guy that you guys got down at Atlanta, Isaiah Oliver. Everybody was predicting him in one, and he ended up dropping into the second level. With this, so much of a rush on pass rushes, so much of a rush on the offensive linemen in the middle of round one, you're going to see a lot of these corners slide back into round two.
Well, there are only 32 picks in the first round, and we always hear what seems like more than 32 first-rounders. So if Byron Murphy from Washington and DeAndre Baker from Georgia are two that you think are solid first-round guys, what is about Greedy Williams, who has been at the top of many people's corners coming into this draft prior to today? What is it that has you thinking he'll slip to day two?
Well, if you're a fantasy football guy, you'll like Greedy Williams because he'll get the INTs for you. But, hey, guys, this is reality football over here. We're not going to be sitting down there just plugging and playing, guys. He can't cover. He can cover. He just cannot hit. And that's a problem for me. I don't like a guy that attacks the ball. What happens if he misses? All of a sudden, I got to wait for his recovery burst to get back in there. And if you look at this guy, you might as well call him 2D. I mean, if this is probably the only kid I could find I could hide behind my pencil.
So that's Greedy Williams, one of those who's quick and can cover but doesn't hit. You do like, as we mentioned, Baker and Murphy as being all-around corners. What about a kid that went to Temple?
Well, look at Baker. Baker, I mean, he's got Philadelphia on the board. He's got the Oakland Raiders. These guys really like him a lot. The Rams like him, and if the Rams don't go for him, they're more than likely going to turn around and go for another kid that came out of Georgia, the Temple guy, Rocky Sin. I don't think you're going to see a cornerback out there that will laugh in the face of a wide receiver that's going to try to challenge him as you would with Rocky Sin. This is the hardest-hitting cornerback you will see in the last 5 years.
That's the kid I was going to mention from Decatur, went to Temple, Rocky Sin. One more that played at Georgia for a while, ended up at Mississippi State, Jonathan Abram, who plays at safety.
Well, you want to laugh on this? I don't even think he'll be the first safety off the board, even though everybody has anointed him. Mm. I don't like his stiff hips. I don't think that he's going to be able to cover on the back end. I go and look at the guy that's been skyrocketing up on boards right now because they're comparing him with LaMarcus Joyner, and that's not a bad way to get compared. That's Darnell Savage up in Maryland. This is a guy I see going in the top 40 picks. If San Francisco doesn't pull that trade with New England, he's sitting right there, and they're going to go yum, yum, eat him up.
Well, I know at safety, you've got Chauncey Gardner-Johnson at Florida, Nasir Adderley at Delaware, and Deontay Thompson at Alabama.
Yeah, I'm looking at Gardner-Johnson ending up replacing Honey Badger down at Houston, especially when they come up on 55. Philadelphia, if they don't see what's there, they could go for a guy that they could play at slot corner or at safety, and that's Juan Thornhill. You look at Nasir Adderley. This is a kid that's still learning how to play safety. He was a rover and cornerback up at Delaware, but Tampa Bay really likes him, and so does Green Bay. These are teams that I'm seeing going for these guys in the second round among the the safeties. Abram, Rapp, they'll like to end up going. Jacksonville is really impressed with the hard-hitting ability of Rapp. Kansas City likes Abram, but I don't think they'll trade up to get him in round two. You look at the cornerbacks we have out there. I mean, after you get past the first four, you got Lane up at Michigan State that Detroit definitely wants to keep in state in round two. Mullen over at Clemson could possibly end up being your third guy down with the Atlanta Falcons in round three.
Hmm. Well, in the few seconds we have left here before we go put a ribbon on it in the final segment, people are forgetting about, we talk so much about the first round, there are teams that don't have first round picks. Dallas, Chicago, Cleveland, New Orleans, we're not going to see them until day two, but they're going to be very active in the draft.
Look for the Bears to try to find the best available running back out there. I think Miles Sanders will still be on the play. If not, look at the guy with first-round talent that had bad combine, bad interviews, and everything else, and that's Josh A. Polite. They could end up putting him either on their defensive line at the edge or making him a linebacker. Dallas, I still see them coming up and saying, you know what, we got Jason back, but still, I got to go get for a tight end. Dawson Knox, Jay Sternberger are logical for them over there, or if they decide that, listen, I want to get myself a defensive lineman, it's not going to end up in jail tomorrow, Zach Allen might fall into play. New Orleans coming up in round two. Boy, oh boy, would I love a big wide receiver opposite Michael Thomas, and that's where I have N'Keal Harry possibly going. If they decide to bring in Marcus Davenport, a buddy, they might find a local kid with Jalen Ferguson there. Cleveland, I look at them still with the Thornhill picture, but by trading Kevin Zeitler, if Chris Lindstrom is still on board when they come up in round two, he could be a perfect plug for them over at the right guard spot.
Well, now that we've got a feel for players and teams showing the most interest, we're going to talk a little bit about the Falcons and look ahead. What should the Falcons do in the draft? The man who makes his living scouting and advising teams will tell us when the 92.9 The Game draft preview special continues on 92.9 and 92.9thegame.com. Welcome back into the Kia Studios for the final segment of our 92.9 The Game NFL Draft Preview Special. I'm Paul Crane, along with the publisher of the NFL Draft Report, my co-host on the Scouts Honor podcast, Dave T. Thomas, who, when done with us here, is going to be getting ready to head to a couple of teams' war rooms this week. But before we let you go, Dave T., the Atlanta Falcons have 9 picks in the 7 rounds, 2 picks in each the 4th and the 5th round, and we've laid out a lot of scenarios in terms of who the team has shown the most interest in and teams' picks they could make later in the day. If you were making the picks now, let's start with the 14th in the 1st round. Would you go offense or defensive line? And take us through some of the things you'd like to see them do if you were the one making the picks.
Well, I'm not worried about the knee. If he's there at 14, I'm grabbing Simmons because I know this kid is a stud. If I'm worried about the knee, I go the other way and I take myself a tiger in my tank and I go for Christian Wilkins. I don't think that Jonah Williams is going to slide down that far. I do like Cody Ford on the offensive line. I do like Andre Dillard, but realistically, I think that they know that they're going to have to go for an interior defensive lineman first. They're not going to be around the good ones in round two.
When you talked about Simmons, give you a chance to mention, you saw him, he ran, and he's way ahead of schedule.
I know, and that's why everybody's saying, well, probably 2019's a scratch. I'm looking at the kid, you know, hey, what do they call rookies anyway, puppies? So put them on the pup list for about 6 games.
All right, well, when the Falcons come up in round two, you've talked about a couple of different possibilities, whether it be the Alabama State offensive tackle, Titus Howard, Draymond Jones, a defensive tackle from Ohio State. Rakia Sin, the Temple product who came from Decatur, Georgia. Who
or
else?
If I turn around and say, you know what, Beasley keeps on playing that old song, I'm half the man I used to be, I'll have to go out and get myself another edge rusher. Look at Chase Winovich up at Michigan. This is a kid that plays with his hair on fire, suffered that thumb injury, hasn't been able to work out much for the teams, but even with the thumb injury, he put up the weights, 26. I like this kid. I think that you take this kid, you end up with a Mike Vrabel.
How much is a Jermaine Pratt, who you've talked about as the linebacker from North Carolina State?
Three for me, buddy. I'm still seeing him on board at 3, and I got to go grab him, and I'll try to figure a place to put him among my linebackers.
When we get to day three, rounds 4, 5, 6, and 7, that's where the Falcons are going to have a couple of extra picks. What are some names that people might see because of the interest that the Falcons have shown?
Well, even with the signing of those three guards, I still got to look. If he ends up sliding to 4, I got to go for the Great Dane here because I could play him at center or guard, and I'm looking at Alex Mack's age. You know, it is starting to get up there. But I also look at that I need a third cornerback. Probably the best cover man out there we showed down at the Senior Bowl is a small college kid, Jordan Brown from South Dakota State. Another kid, if he ends up sliding that far, Justin Lane. However, if I come up on the board and still see Raquel Armstead sitting there, I got to bring in a 1-2 punch to go with Freeman. If not, I'm going to have to go early in round 3 and grab Miles Sanders.
And one other player that I want to mention that we haven't had a chance to talk about yet, he's one of those that comes from Wisconsin. What about the guy that plays on the outside at linebacker or a defensive end, Andrew Van Ginkel?
You know, 42 tackles behind the line of scrimmage at 3 stops. He had a slight hip injury this year, came back strong for them. This is a big kid, folks. He's 6'5", 240 pounds, runs a 40 and under 4.6. This is a guy that you bring in, you spot him out there on the field, and with the sub-packages going on, I want him on the field in passing situations. 18.6% of the passes in the last 2 years were completed against this guy.
Before we put a ribbon on this, Dave T., when we look ahead, you get right into as soon as this.
Hey, hold up. I want to go with my last guy for the Atlanta Falcons, buddy. And that's because no matter what they do with defensive tackle, I think you're going to find a great value in this guy in round 7, and that's Dontavius Russell out of Auburn.
Interesting.
Got to get him on the board somewhere, and I look at him as the type of guy that everyone's going to turn back later on and saying, we only invested in a 3 in this kid?
Wow, wouldn't that be something? Well, there's value on day 3. There are players that come out of there, and I should remind people you have made quite a living finding diamonds in the rough. But again, before we put a ribbon on it, you're going to be turning your attention to the 2020 draft next week. But as you look ahead with us here, who do you want to mention in particular for next year's draft?
My top quarterback and a guy in my top 5, actually my top offensive player, and that's Mr. Fromm down at Georgia. I look at this guy, what he brings on the field. He's got Mayfield moxie to me. I love the way he moves back there. He reminds me a lot of Rich Gannon. And the thing is, in the huddle, I'm seeing Phil Sims. You combine those three ingredients into one ball player, I'm telling the Giants right now, don't even bother going for a quarterback in this draft. Come back next year when you got the first pick in the draft and head down to Georgia.
Jake Fromm, Dave T. Thomas's number one man. Well, Dave T., you know you're my number one man. We thank you very much. Our thanks to Oren Romain behind the glass and, of course, Dave T. Again, our Scouts Honor podcasts breaking down every position in great detail are waiting for you on 929thegame.com, along with exclusive player reports and analysis from Dave T.'s NFL Draft Report. Subscribe and get special draft updates cast all week long. Just subscribe or follow when you get there. Round 1 comes Thursday 7 on Saturday, and then Dave T. and I will be right back here next Sunday from 2 to 4 with our NFL Draft wrap-up show only on 92.9 and 92.9thegame.com. Don't go away. Up next, the JR Sports Brief. So long, everybody.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.